I should like now to invite Dr. Kuiper to discuss some slides which he has of some of these photographs. Dr. Kuiper, you want to do it from here, or would you prefer to? I think you better sort of step back.
See the pictures.
Oh, yes. Yes, all right. Thank you, Dr. Pickering. NASA and the Jet Propulsion Laboratory can again be congratulated on the completion of a marvelous mission, the last of the planned Ranger series. About 5,814 pictures were obtained, and the quality of these pictures is excellent. It is better than even on the two previous missions, particularly the P-frames, which on the previous missions showed some streakiness, now show really perfection over the entire area, except for a few minor details, but on the whole, the quality is excellent. And again, a very high resolution has been obtained. The best resolution obtained is approximately 10 inches on the last of the P-frames. What I have selected here is, by way of introduction, three slides, and then eight slides of today's mission. So if I may call for the first slide, please. This is a view of the moon as it presented itself to Ranger 9, and the impact occurred in this crater here, Alphonsus. This is Ptolemaeus, Alphonsus, Arzachel, and this group of three craters you will see again and again. Actually, this slide was originally made for the impact area of Ranger 7, which is Mare Cognitum in this area. So the impact areas of 7 and 9 are not terribly far apart. The next slide shows an Earth-based picture of the area of impact. The impact occurred here, fairly close to the peak, the central peak of Alphonsus, and the region of, well, there were really several regions of interest, but two regions of main interest, one may say. In the first place, the central peak of this mountain, which is a massive mountain not showing any particular structure, casting a shadow here about 3,300 feet high above the floor of the crater. And then there are along the rim here, along the inside of this mountain wall surrounding the crater, there are a number, something like eight black halo craters, which are situated on rills. And it was, of course, tremendous interest to us to know how these craters would look close up. And the impact was intended to occur between the central peak and this group of three of these black halo craters. And this aim was beautifully achieved, and the impact indeed occurred here. Now, the A-frames include this area and then the region here to the left, whereas the B-frames include this region here and the region to the right. So this next very deep crater here, which is Albert Technius, named after the Arab Albertani. This crater was well covered in the early B's, and then also the crater Hipparchus, which occurs here. Now, the next slide shows how totally different the moon appears at full moon. These black areas here are the regions around these dark halo craters. This is the central peak of Alphonsus. And as you know, some years ago, in the fall of 1958, a Russian astronomer, Dr. Kozyrev, had observed some peculiar emission here, it seemed. And so the nature of that Santal Mountain was of very great interest to the scientific team, if not to many others. So there was the dual interest then, these dark halo craters and the Santal Peak, and of course the entire fine structure of the floor. Now the next slide shows one of the A-frames. It is frame number 35, counted from the last of the A-frames. And it was taken when the moon was 258 miles away. The dimensions of this frame are about 120 miles by 110 miles. It shows then the entire crater Alphonsus. You see that already here the definition, that is the detail, is well above what can be photographed from the Earth. Here you have the crater Alpetragius. There are two craters which almost the same name, and that is rather confusing. And this is Davy A. There's a crater Davy is here. So here you see a part of the Mare, of Mare Nubium, and here is the crater floor. And as one goes into the moon, one sees that there are a great number of more craters per unit area here than here. This floor is literally peppered with small craters. The next slide shows Ptolemaeus here, Alphonsus here with its central peak, and this is the impact area right there. And then you see a good part of the floor of Albertagnius, which is a very deep crater. It has an enormous central mountain here, about 4,500 feet high above the floor of this basin. And there are a lot of little depressions in the floor. This is a most interesting area. Actually, some of the earlier frames go way over, that is of the B frames, go way over to the shadow line here, to the terminator. So this whole area was covered many times with very excellent photography. The next slide shows a rill near the west wall of the large crater Alphonsus. So the central peak now is here in this area. You see only a small section of the crater floor. And this is one of these peripheral rills which occur along most of the inner rim of the wall. And here you see one of the dark halo craters, and particularly this one is the best of the lot. And you see that this crater, with the material that has apparently been thrown out of this crater, and this material is very dark at full moon, has filled apparently this rill that goes right through it. So the crater occurs right on the rill and then has apparently sprayed this whole area with dark stuff, and that has filled this crack, this rill, in its vicinity. So here is one, here is one, here is one. This is that group of three which I pointed out before. The mountain walls, by contrast, have comparatively little detail. And this is an important discovery, that these contours here are so soft, so gentle. There is so little detail per square area, as per unit area, per square mile, let's say, compared to the crater floor. You can see the tremendous contrast. And that is not a matter of inclination, because there are areas here which are nearly level, you see, and yet you see only a few features. Here is a sort of a lake in that, in this surrounding mountain wall. The next slide shows the central peak of Alphonsus. And even with this high resolution, very little detail is shown. One can see a few tiny little things here. There is a little depression right there. And there are a few little marks along the crest, but any orifice, any real crater, if any exists, must be on the side of the shadow, because this illuminated portion certainly shows no major vent in this central mountain. As I said before, this mountain is about 3,300 feet high above the floor. Now, through it, you have here that central spine that runs north and south, more or less, through the floor of Alphonsus, and that is directed in the direction of Mare Imbrium, and it shows some low, gentle terrain with rather few details, somewhat similar to the mountain walls surrounding the crater, which I pointed out a moment ago. Furthermore, you see other rills, and the impact point occurred in this area here, right on this rill. This was lucky. You see, one rill runs through the shadow of Alphonsus and is not very pronounced in places, but it essentially goes on from here to here. Then there's another one here, you see? And this thing breaks up into a series of craters, and the impact point is almost squarely on this group of three craters. You can see just a little bit to the left of this group of three craters, as the last slides will show. Next. Now, here we are already much closer to the surface. Let me consult my notes here to get you the actual dimensions of the frame here. The frame size is 5.8 miles by 5.3 miles. The picture was taken from 12 miles above the moon. It was taken 8 seconds before impact. Now, this is one of those two small craters. The main peak you see is way off here. And then there was a rill running in this direction, as you recall. And that rill now looks like a rather shallow trough. Because the sun was only 10 degrees above the horizon, you see. So it was a low sun. And even so, there are really no deep shadows here at all. This is just a valley. This other rill now is broken up into individual craters. It looks like a crater chain. And then there is a tremendous amount of detail in between, including shallow depressions, which are somewhat similar to the depressions seen on both Mare Cognitum and Mare Imbrium, Mare Serenitatis in ranges 7 and 8. The next. This is the last of the A-frames. And it was taken 4.5 miles above the moon. The dimensions of what you see here is approximately 2 miles square, 2 miles by 2 miles. And you see a number of shallow depressions as shown. The smallest craters visible here are 40 feet in diameter. So this was the last of the A's. Now the next is the last of the B's. And this is an awfully good picture. Well, both are excellent pictures. In fact, all pictures are good. But it shows, it is for an astronomer really a tremendous pleasure, I can assure you, to see such a treasure of new information. The dimensions here on this one are 1.6 by 1.4 miles. The altitude above the moon was, when this picture was taken, was 8 miles. This is with the B camera, has a longer focal length, and so it has more resolution, that it has a smaller field and more magnification. It was taken 5.5 seconds before impact. Now, here again, you see some of these shallow depressions. There are a tremendous amount of detail, a structure here, sort of the three-bark structure, what we have observed in the previous Ranger shots, particularly Ranger 7, that is also present on the floor of this crater Alphonsus. The smallest craters shown here are about 30 feet across. And then the last frame, the last slide, is a set of three P frames taken all with the P1 camera. And these are the last and the previous two frames taken with the P1 camera. So this is all with the same camera. This one first, that one next, and that one last. Now the impact point is here. I just missed being right in this crater, and very likely this crater we have measured, the dimensions of this last frame, I'll give you that first, are 160 feet by about 125 feet, and this was taken 3/4 of a mile above the moon, less than half a second, 45 hundredths of a second before impact. And the smallest visible craters are about 2.5 feet across. And the impact of Ranger 9 is this circle, here and here and here. You see how the magnification has jumped. You see this little crater is the same as that. The big one is this big one here, and of course this big one is way off the last frame. This little group here is, well, you see two of them, these two, and this one here is this one here, you see. You recognize the correspondence. And so this is where Ranger 9 impacted, and the crater which Ranger 9 made will probably have been approximately half the size of this crater next to which it landed. So we will need another ranger, I think, to make sure of this. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Kuiper. Could I invite the other experimenters back up to the platform? I should now like to invite comment from the other experimenters. And may I start with Dr. Shoemaker? Dr. Shoemaker, would you like to make some comments?
Well, I think there's very little to add to the general details that Dr. Kuiper has covered. Particular attention should be given, I think, to the smoothness of the large crater walls and the central peak and the central ridge running through Alphonsus. As Dr. Kuiper indicated, this is somewhat surprising. It's a very important new piece of information. I'm sure it will tell us, once we understand it, a lot of new things about the processes taking place on the surface. The results obtained from the dark halo craters, as Dr. Kuiper showed you, illustrate rather beautifully that those dark halos are in fact deposits on the moon's surface. This is something that could not have been told. Even though we can see the craters through the telescope and the dark halos, we could not see the details that show that older features around these dark halo craters had indeed been filled in. If there are volcanic features on the moon, I'm one of those who believes that there are. These are a type, possibly, of volcanic feature. On Earth, we have somewhat similar features, which we call the Maar type of volcano. That's M-A-A-R. The classical locality for these is in the Eifel region of Germany, and they're formed by very violent explosions. And these little dark halo craters may be deposits of ash, dark ash. The other features, of course, that are brought out that are give us new details are the rills. And in some of these very small, narrow rills observed in the floor of Alphonsus, we see little local flat floors, which are somewhat like the rills that you saw in the Ranger 8 pictures in Mare Tranquillitatis, only they're smaller. They may be little down-dropped segments of graben. In other places, the rills are clearly a group of craters strung end to end, so that we have all variations between the little graben-type rill and chains of craters. The origin of these are not entirely clear. It has been suggested that some of the chain craters that look like this, larger ones, are also volcanic in origin. In any event, they do seem to be related to interior structures in the moon. So these are specifically new features that have not been seen, of course, in this kind of detail in the previous Ranger flights, nor have they been seen through the telescope in the exquisite detail you saw just now.
Thank you, Jane. Dr. Urey?
Well, it's very difficult to say much new beyond what has been said. I think I would just like to mention again the reasons which we had in mind for going to the crater Alphonsus and to review for you some of the facts about this. As Dr. Kuiper has mentioned, Kozarev in Russia in 58 concluded that there was a cloud of gas and dust over the central peak of Alphonsus. And having seen this by looking in a telescope, he was able to put a telescope with a spectrograph on this, and secured spectra which have been published published in various Russian journals and Sky and Telescope, and showed a very curious spectrum in the neighborhood of the peak. There seemed to be a spectrum of a molecule which we know as C2, and the particular bands observed were those that we call the Swan bands, which are known in comets and also known in the laboratory. is odd, however. Certain bands that are expected are present, and others are certainly much weaker. And specialists on molecular spectra are rather critical of the interpretation as due to the C2. If it is indeed C2, it is a very curious situation, because this molecule with two atoms of carbon in it does not escape from any known volcano that has been recognized on the Earth. It is a very different thing, and it's very difficult to understand how one gets two carbon atoms together in a single molecule under these circumstances. Most unusual indeed. I thought perhaps that this might be due to the escape of acetylene from the moon, but acetylene infers a very unusual chemical substance, calcium or magnesium carbonate, or carbide, and so forth. And on this basis, I suggested these black spots might be due to graphite, namely gases coming up to contain C2 and falling on the surface of the moon and coloring it black with graphite. Professor Bruce Murray here at Caltech is investigating this problem, and he says that he has plates that will settle this question as soon as he's able to reduce them. I'm very curious to know what the answer is. But of course, if Kozyrev is wrong about the spectrum being due to C2, then of course all the predictions are out also, and it may be due to hydrogen sulfide. However, those spots in this crater are exceedingly curious. They're very black in the full moon, and very curious indeed. I might say that. Who is this chap in Washington that's running the moon, Blake?
Edson.
Edson has organized a group of people to look at the moon carefully and watch for any activity in Alphonsus. And some of his observers, indeed, reported red spots in precisely the place that Kozyrev observed his spectrum. He is quite sure that this is real. And of course, red spots have been seen in other parts of the moon near Aristarchus. And this whole phenomena of a certain amount of activity on the moon is very interesting indeed. And these dark halo craters, I am sure, are indeed due to some sort of plutonic activity beneath the surface of the moon. They do not look to me like terrestrial volcanoes, either of the Fujiyama type or the Krakatoa type, or even the so-called Mars. They do not look like this to me. They look like a unique lunar type of object. Well, it is these things and considerations of this sort that led us to select Alphonsus for this mission. And I think that we will have a very good time trying to interpret these results. And what I expect, of course, is that we will not get any reasonable interpretation that we can agree upon. In fact, I feel sure that until we get some
chemistry into this program, this will, will continue to be the case. Also, a little physics of the variety of seismology would help enormously, and I hope that the years are not too far ahead when we will learn something about this. I personally am sorry that this is the last ranger. There are a number of other places that I think would be interesting to look at. I would just like, in closing, to say again how much I admire what the staff of this laboratory has done in sending this object to the moon. I think all of us think that the engineering that's been done on this is close to being miraculous. I wish, in closing, to say that I would be very glad if jet propulsion worked on the closed television as well as they have. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Urey. Mr. Whitaker, would you like to make some comments?
Well, I don't really think I can add anything constructive to what my colleagues have said, but if I can be completely frivolous for a moment, we started off the program with the assumption that the maria are much smoother than the highlands. We now find that the rough highlands are much smoother than the maria. We see that the walls are very smooth, whereas the flat crater floors and so on are very bumpy. But this isn't quite as bad as it seems, I'm sure, because there are highlands and highlands, and most of the highlands that we can see in the telescope are extremely rough, whereas the walls of Alphonsus and some of these other craters near the Mare edges are definitely not so rough. So the south pole of the moon, the highlands there, are excessively rough, as I've seen them in large telescopes. But some of these other craters, such as Alphonsus, the walls are not so rough in the telescope. They do appear to be somewhat smooth. And this has been confirmed by the photographs that we've seen today. The walls are extremely smooth. So, well, do we land our spaceships now on the walls of Alphonsus or in the Maria? As I said, this was entirely frivolous. But certainly these are amazing photographs, and it's going to take us a long, long time to completely go through the whole lot.
Thank you. You think we ought to have another one to shoot at the South Pole, huh?
Yes, it'd be a good idea.
Ray, we've heard some of your comments. Do you want to make some more comments? Leacock?
Well, since my responsibilities on the experimenter team have been in the engineering areas, I would like to add my plaudits to the engineering team, both here at JPL and at RCA, that provided this system and stuck with it throughout all of the various problems that we had, and they were many over the years, to finally achieve today, I think, the ultimate in quality in terms of photographs of the moon. The problems we had with this closed circuit television, that was an experiment. We thought it was worth the effort to try to close out the program in that way. If we had wanted to try to make it perfect, we would never have achieved it. I think the results were worth it, though. Thank you.
Thank you. Gentlemen, the meeting or the press conference is now open for questions. We'll stop by these photographs. So, Dighton.
Yes. What do you think is the most significant finding of Ranger 9 photographs?
What do you think is the most significant finding of Ranger 9's photographs?
Anybody want to try that one? Let's say we've looked at these photographs for what, 2 hours, 3 hours? Gene, Dr. Kuiper?
I think the most significant finding is the apparent smoothness of the crater walls and certain ridges in the crater floor, which we might have anticipated to be rougher than the rest of the floor, and in fact have turned out to be much smoother. perhaps the most significant findings are always those that you least anticipate. This is certainly one that I think most of us did not anticipate. It turned out that the details that we're speaking about here are just a little beyond the limit of best telescopic resolution, and it turned out as a fairly complete surprise. I'm sure that this, after we've had a chance to really look at the data in much more detail, is going to reveal some new insights into the surface processes that we could never get from the Ranger 7 and 8 pictures. This is a very significant new input.
I would like to add to that and agree with Shoemaker completely, and just point out in addition that you will see that when we see a physical difference in the surface of the moon, it must be ascribed to some physical properties. Hardness, softness, chemical content, something must make this difference, especially when we have every reason to believe that the surface of the moon is bombarded uniformly with objects. And I just want to emphasize that it makes us wonder what the chemical composition is and why it has this difference in physical reaction to the materials that are interacting with it.
Thank you, Dr. Urey. Dighton, do you have another question?
Just one more question there. Have you changed your mind about the Mare probably be the better landing site?
Anybody? Okay, Dr. Kaiba.
Well, everybody might have a different view.
Dr. Urey says everybody may have a different view, and of course it's true. Obviously, these pictures, there are over 5,000, 5,800 of them, and they contain a wealth of information, and it is almost bewildering to see all this new information. And so a considered view really cannot be given, you will understand, after living with those pictures for a few hours. But I was still thinking about the previous question, and I feel that one thing certainly struck me. I don't know whether it's the thing that struck me most. What struck me most really was the quality of the pictures, to be truthful. I think that it was so excellent, and uniformly excellent. Now about the moon, what struck me was that the floor of Alphonsus does not look awfully different from the floor of the Maria. That is both Mare Cognitum and Mare Tranquillitatis look rather similar to what you see on the high resolution pictures of this floor. So the floor of this crater seemed to have properties which are somewhat like the Maria, whereas the walls certainly are totally different. And I agree also with what has been said, that this is a most important result, and it may well be that after one looks at it much more closely, that it may turn out that the walls, of if they are not too high, not too steep, that there would be areas that would indeed be better than ordinary Mare floor. I don't see why not. I think it requires a great deal more work.
Yes.
Do you have any further indication now as to how hard or how soft that surface is, whether it can support a landing craft?
Anybody want to try that one?
Since I probably have made some statement about this in the past in public, I am willing to answer this question. I think I said on a previous occasion that it is, of course, impossible, strictly speaking, from mere inspection from above, to conclude anything with certainty about the hardness of the lunar surface. I mean, this must be obvious to you. One can make guesses, and the guesses are based on models, and models are based on explanation which one forms in one's mind of these things one sees. And I would still be willing to guess that the hardness would be sufficient to support a landing vehicle that is of the order of maybe a ton or a few tons per square foot. But honestly, this is not a measure. This is obviously just a guess. It is a guess based on on a personal interpretation of what one sees. So until that has been measured, one can certainly not be sure.
Okay. Additional questions? Right, over there.
Do you have any more Ranger spacecraft left?
This is the last Ranger in the flight series.
There are, I know it's the last one, but do you have any extra models that you built?
Well, there are various models that were used, the proof test model, for example, and other partially completed spacecraft which have been used during the testing in the program. There are also, of course, spare parts, flight spares, of various sorts. But there are no complete flight-worthy, flight-ready range of spacecraft at this time.
What does the greater number of craters on the floor of Alphonsus compared to the nearby Mare Nubium area indicate?
I think this is going to be one of the questions to be debated, but perhaps we would make some comments. Shoemaker?
The surface of the floor of Alphonsus, in fact, the entire crater is older than Mare Nubium. It's therefore has received a larger number of impacting objects, crater-forming objects, and other kinds of craters have been formed. And there's simply have been fewer events take place on the surface of the Maria since they have been formed. The Mare material actually overlaps the rim material of Alphonsus. So it's a difference in age and of the sequence of events that has happened in these two places.
Dighton?
You said impacts and other events. Are you speculating that what other events are you talking about?
Oh, well, there clearly are other kinds of craters besides impact craters on the floor of Alphonsus. Chain craters, for example, and the dark halo craters. In other words, there are a great variety of details, and there are at least two, possibly three, many, perhaps a dozen different kinds of craters there, but there are at least three that are easily distinguished, only one of which is likely to be, or only one group of which is likely to be of impact origin.
Caused the other craters, those other than impact craters?
Well, the chain craters could either be collapsed craters along fissures, or they may be little volcanic features. These are hypotheses that are not easy to decide between. These craters appear to have been greatly modified since they were formed. There are many still smaller craters formed on them that you see in the highest resolution pictures. You saw some of these chain craters in the very last pictures. The dark halo craters, that has been suggested many, many years ago that these are of volcanic origin, and they're clearly located along the rills, which show that they are related somehow to the internal structure of the moon and probably to interior processes. I think that they are volcanic. I think that when we come down to fine distinctions between the just exactly the nature of the volcanism, that we're probably going to get some differences of opinion, but I think there's fair unanimity that these are craters produced by some mechanism that's grossly allied with volcanism.
Thank you. Do we have any further questions? Our next.
There are not any questions. I'd just like to tell you before you go that this probably is the oldest team of experimenters. I mean, the team that's been around. <that is. laughs> in continuous service on one project since NASA started. And I'd like to thank all of them. They're not through by any means. Most of them are busily engaged in other projects and consulting with us, but I'm sure some of them will be glad to have ended this particular project in this particular fashion. We thank them all very much.
Wait a minute. Excuse me. Just a minute. I understand that they have been listening to us down at the Cape, and is there somebody at the Cape? Is Jack King there?
Listen to us down at the
Does anybody know whether the Cape is on this circuit or not?
Eric? Cape's on.
Okay. Apparently... I was just wondering if we had some questions from the Cape, but apparently we do not have any questions from the Cape. So, thank you very much.
Now, San Diego next. San Diego or Boston? San Diego or Boston?
Yes. Randy left his mark.
Thank you very much, sir. All right.